All right, Alexander, here's the story we've been covering for a while now, and we've kind of been calling this one for a while now as well, but Boris Johnson is apologizing for having all those parties while everyone else was in lockdown in the UK, and he thought that he was going to go to the House of Commons. He was going to apologize, and everything was going to be made well and good, but that is not the case. Things are looking really, really bad for Boris, and I mean, it seems that everyone is asking for his resignation, from Keir Starmer and Labour all the way to his own party as well.
Yes.
Many people in the Tory party. It seems that he's losing support by the minute. What is happening? Would you have agreed to have done that apology, by the way? Would you have agreed to apologize?
I think realistically he had absolutely no choice. He had to apologize. But of course, making that apology has simply amplified his original error of judgment. I mean, holding these parties. And of course, he made things very much worse for himself by refusing for a time to admit that he'd even been at this party. So the impression is that this apology has been extracted from him. What Boris needed to do, not now, but needed to do some time ago, was when reports of these parties first started to appear, he should have come out, told us exactly how many of these events, these social events, had happened. This is, you know, weeks ago. Brought them all together, called in the Conservative Parliamentary Party, explained why they happened and that he was probably very badly advised, and, you know, cleared the decks. It would have done him a considerable amount of political damage, but much less than this drip, drip of new revelations that come up every couple of days and every couple of weeks with new information about a new party or a new event of this kind. Now, I want to just say something about that, because it's absolutely clear to me that somebody is methodically and strategically leaking information about these stories. I mean, this isn't happening out of nowhere. I mean, somebody's holding things back. Boris comes along, makes an apology. For a time, it seems to sort of steady things a little. And then at the moment, it seems as if he's out of the wood. Another one comes out and we learn about more things of this kind. This is clearly a systematic attempt to undermine him. Now, who is doing it? I have no idea, but I'm going to make a guess, which is the Dominic Cummings, his estranged former chief advisor, may have a role behind all of this. I'm not absolutely able to confirm that. I don't know this for a fact, but that someone is doing this and that this is intentional and deliberate is indisputable. But the fact is, obviously, the Labour Party is criticising him. But what really needs to concern him is, firstly, the Conservatives' poll rating has now collapsed. I mean, they're now polling in the around 28% instead of 40+% as they were just a few weeks ago. Conservative MPs are now coming out and directly criticising him and are calling him for him to step down. But even more alarming to him is that you see this failure to provide him with full support from key figures within his cabinet. Now, it's become clear that Kwarteng, who was, as I said, we mentioned as a potential leadership challenger, has assessed the situation, has decided he wouldn't win a leadership challenge, so he stepped back. So it's now looking like a battle between Liz Truss and Sunak. Liz Truss took 4 hours to come out with a statement of support for Johnson, and it wasn't particularly strong. And Sunak, it took him 8 hours to come out with a statement of support for Johnson. And when you read it, when you read the tweet, it was incredibly qualified. He said that Johnson was right to offer an apology and that everybody should wait until this investigation was concluded, which doesn't really support Johnson at all. And importantly, Sunak wasn't present in Parliament, in the House of Commons, sitting alongside Johnson, lending him his support when Johnson gave that apology. And everybody is construing this rightly, I mean, indisputably, Sunak, in effect, cutting his links with Johnson and preparing a leadership challenge. So it's looking worse for Johnson than it ever has done. And I have to say, I think that within the next couple of days or weeks, we will. I think he is mortally wounded. I can't see this going on for much longer.
How is this going to work, this leadership challenge, if it does come about? Like, what's the process that takes place?
What is the process? I mean, let's assume that Johnson resigns as Conservative leader. He would have to remain acting Prime Minister. There would then be a leadership election within the Conservative Party. Whoever then won would become Prime Minister. Process could take several weeks. But at the end of it, we would have a new prime minister.
Why does this benefit Starmer?
I'm not sure
He's
it does.
For Johnson to resign.
Yeah. I know. I'm not sure
What's
it
the
does,
benefit
actually.
To Labour?
I'm not sure it does. Well, first of all, I mean, he is the leader of the opposition in this kind of situation. I mean, it would be very bizarre if he didn't call for Johnson to resign. So he has to do that. But that's the other interesting side of this, because I said that the Conservative support has collapsed. Labour support has hardly risen. I mean, they're now ahead of the Conservatives in the opinion polls because the Conservatives have gone, whoop! But Labour is pretty much where it was. They're still polling in the mid-30s. So one doesn't get the sense of a huge groundswell of support for Starmer. And I actually saw an opinion poll, I think it was by YouGov, which actually showed that Starmer's negative ratings are actually growing. In fact, there's even less liking for him than there was a few weeks and months ago, which is really quite interesting. And it begs a lot of questions why. I think he's been damaged, by the way, by the Blair Knighthood affair. I think that this is something which the political class just simply doesn't get. Somebody pointed out, I think it was the journalist Owen Jones, that more people in Britain believe that the moon landings were faked than support Tony Blair's knighthood. So that gives you an idea of how unpopular the decision to give Blair this knighthood actually was. So I think he's been damaged by that affair. And of course, it's reminded people or made people feel that he was some sort of, that Starmer is some sort of Blairite. And the Blairites are very unpopular in Britain. So I think what could very easily happen is we could see a situation not unlike the one that happened in 2019, where you have a Conservative government that looks all over the place with a very unpopular Prime Minister. At that time, it was Theresa May. Theresa May was eventually forced to step down. It took a long time to happen, but she was. There was a Conservative leadership election. A new Prime Minister appeared. In that case, it was Boris Johnson. On this occasion, it's most likely going to be Rishi Sunak. The Conservatives then suddenly become popular again because all the doubts about Labour that were there before, at that point, they become more visible. And for all I know, we could then have another election, just as we did in 2019, and the Conservatives could be re-elected. But we're a different Conservative Party from the one that Johnson led. Johnson led a pro-Brexit government. Sunak, though he supported Brexit verbally and says that he voted for Brexit in the 2016 election, as I said, is somebody, as I've said many times, is somebody who is associated with global wealth, with the billionaire class, with the globalist agenda. And that would be the programme I suspect he would follow.
Yeah, is there a risk that Sunak would try to roll back some of Brexit? I'm not saying he actually rolled back Brexit, but does various schemes and tricks to
I think
the UK more integrated with Europe without calling it a return to Brexit, but just does some things behind the scene, which keep the UK tethered That's my first question. My second, and one more quick question is: Boris has not implemented any of his of the mandates and lockdowns and passports and all this kind of madness. Probably because he's afraid that if he did that, or he was afraid that if he did that, then you know his prime ministership would collapse. But with a new prime minister, is that also now going to be on the table? Someone like Sunak is going to say, you know what? Now we got digital IDs coming, passports, lockdowns. It's all now we're full speed ahead with that as well.
Right. Now, let's on the first issue, I don't think there's any doubt about this. If Sunak becomes prime minister, he will roll back as much of Brexit as he thinks he can get away with. He won't want to alienate Brexit, pro-Brexit voters in the working class constituencies in the North and Midlands of England, but he will roll it back to the extent that he can. I think that is a certainty. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. And by the way, if Sunak is elected prime minister by the Conservatives, a new Conservative leader, and becomes prime minister, to my mind, that points to an early general election, because I would have thought that there would be a honeymoon period, there'd be a rush of support for Sunak. I would have thought that he'd want to call an election quickly. And the reason he would want to call an election quickly is not because he's worried about the Labour Party, but because he's worried about Nigel Farage and Reform UK starting to gain traction in the pro-Brexit working class constituencies in the North and the Midlands. So he'd want to call an election quickly so that he can get his majority, establish himself as prime minister, and then start to roll back on much of Brexit before, as I said, Farage and the pro-Brexit forces begin to make real inroads into the Conservative position in these sort of places. So that's the first thing. Now, on the second, it's very difficult to say. Back in 2020, in the autumn of 2020, Sunak was the big opponent of lockdowns, mandates and all the rest within the cabinet. Partly, it was a reflection of the fact that much of the business community was by this point very opposed to these things. And Sunak is, after all, the finance minister and listens to these people. But it's also possible that he realised that this is an increasingly popular policy. I have to say that I think on balance that he would stick to that he would not want to go back to lockdowns and mandates and things of that sort, because I think that his aim would be, as I said, to have a quick election, and he wouldn't want to do something that would be unpopular. And the opinion polling on this is absolutely clear. Going down that particular road of lockdowns, mandates and all the rest would be massively unpopular in Britain.
All right. So you give Boris a couple more days, a couple more weeks.
It's always difficult because, I mean, you remember with Theresa. With
maybe
Theresa,
he'll survive.
You remember with, well, he could even survive. I mean, you know, he's not without his political skills, so let's not underestimate them. But if you remember with Theresa May, who obviously lacked political skills and was a terrible prime minister, she still managed to keep going for week after week, even after it looked like she was on her, you know, she was at a last gasp. So, you know, this could go on for a while. But my own sense is that this time round, the Conservative Party, remembering the damage that this long period of clinging on to Theresa May caused them, I think this time they will move much more quickly. And I would have thought a couple of weeks at most. But that's my guess. British politics is so complicated. Conservative Party politics are so complicated. I can't really say for sure.
All right. We will continue to follow this story as we have been following it for the past few weeks.
I mean, British politics is always interesting. I mean, people talk about Kremlin intrigues. Let me assure our viewers, Kremlin intrigues are small potatoes compared to what goes on in the Conservative Party in Britain.
I agree. Just crazy. It's crazy stuff. All right. The Duran.locals.com, Odyssey, BitChute, Rumble, Super U, and the Duran Shop. 10% off when you use the code GOODDAY. 10% off all merchandise. take care. You have the mug?
Of course there it is. Of course
good
I do.
Day. Just of course punch I that do. In and you get 10% off on checkout. Take care.